Tonight we're going to talk about a very common thing that people say, and it's to comfort us. A lot of times it's meant for comfort, but it's really never said anywhere in the Bible. It's a promise that's made over and over again. And the Bible even says that whatever it is, God can handle it. Life isn't always easy. It's far from it, right? And sometimes life can be very, very difficult. I mean, we're in those times now with things that are going on amongst our people, with health and things that are happening to us, ice machines that are breaking down. It don't seem like much, but ice is a luxury item for us. You don't miss it so much when you're in other countries, but it's here. It's now. It's what we. It's our culture. But even when the storm clouds gather there, during our most stressful moments, we're protected by our loving God who takes care of us. He promises that in His Word that He'll take care of us because He loves us. Now, when we're worried, God reassures us. When we're sad, He gives us comfort. When our hearts are broken, He's just not near. He's here. He's with us. He's holding us because we all need that embrace from a father. Whenever things are against us and things stack up quickly. People in our church are walking through some difficult seasons where the pains of life can sometimes seem too much to bear. We're trying our best to solve our own problems but feel overwhelmed. Perhaps like many, we dislike having to depend on others. I'm not real big on depending on people. Y'all should know that by now. That's a drawback, a weakness of mine. It's not that I'm being a maverick. I've just been trained and was taught to do it. Take it by the horns and handle it. And it comes in very handy in the work that I do because I tackle it and bulldog it and do what I need to do and move on with life. But it's a problem. And we need to depend on others. We need people to come alongside us to help and to be with us. We would rather come up with our own solution to our own problems a lot of the times. I'm sure I know a good plumber that could probably fix that valve that Gerald's got, but I send him your way. But maybe we've taught or heard somebody say with good intentions that God won't give you more than you can handle. And I have heard that a lot. In my Christian walk, I've said it a lot when I've been to people's funerals, when I've preached funerals. God won't give you more than you can handle. And it's said as a way to give us comfort, but who originally said that, really? It wasn't Jesus. Unfortunately, many of us believe it's in the Bible, but it's not. The Bible actually says is in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not lead you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God also goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, and that's through our trials. All of our trials, all of our issues, all of our hurts, our aches, our pains, He's sufficient for us because His power is made perfect in weakness. We look more to God in weakness than we do in our regular times, in our life. I know there are a lot of folks in this church and in my life that are strong people. They are not going to go to the hospital unless it's absolutely necessary. But when it's time to go, it's time to go. And, we lean on God, just like when our country's attacked. People don't care. They are nonchalant. They move about life, doing what they want to do, and all of a sudden, the Twin Towers fell. This happened here. This happened there. People are, and you see in our news media, people wrapped up in weakness, reaching out and calling for God. So it's not, it's more accurate to put it as that there is nothing that will come into your life that God's grace will not get you through. That's the best way to say it. Because keep in mind, testing and tempting are not the same. Scripture never says that God won't let us endure more than we can handle. What it does say is that we won't be tempted beyond what we can handle. Being tested and feeling tempted are two totally different creatures. Think about it like this. Enduring hard things, a death, a divorce, an illness, and then being tempted in hard ways. For me, it would be to stop overspending, to stop overeating, because I do love to eat. To stop drinking maybe alcohol when everyone around you is doing it. Those are not the same things. To be tempted and to have endure hardships is two totally different creatures. Life comes at us with a set of challenges, and each one of us had those challenges programmed in before birth. God knew what we was going to go through. We knew who each one of us was going to marry. We knew that what issues they would have and what we would experience together and how we would handle them. God knew all that, because it says that even he knew us even in, before we were in the womb. And it's hard to fathom. That's one of the questions I've got when I get there. You know, I'd love to have just a 2-minute session. That's probably all it would take, because he's going to give me one answer, and then probably, son, I said so. I knew you would be that stupid and do that. Yeah, that's right. So everybody has that set of challenges that's given to them. He knows whether we're going to have cancer. He knows if we're going to live to be 100 or 20. He knows if we're going to fall and break a hip or whatever. But, you know, it really just don't, when life gives us those challenges, it doesn't feel good, for one thing, but it also don't seem fair sometimes. And we wonder, why would God allow us to go through all that we're going through? But here's some good news for us. Jesus doesn't desire us to go through any of what we're experiencing alone. He wants us to depend solely on him, and that's a challenge for some. He knows that it's like what it's like to feel overwhelmed and to go through hardships that we don't want to have to go through. And that's the hard thing in life, is when we experience a death, when we experience something, a massive health issue, maybe like what Michael's going through. It's uncomfortable for us. We don't know how to respond to that. We don't know how to handle it short of relying on God. But to realize that everything is in God's control. When Jesus was about to face the crucifixion, he was deeply troubled. And Scripture tells us that he prayed. In Matthew 26:38, he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." And then in 26:39, he says, going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." That's right. Mm-hmm. You do.
Not. Now let your will be done, and you get through.
Mm-hmm. We have to give that control to God, because that's what even Jesus done this here. He knew he didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to die. He wasn't done yet, as the way the human side of him thought, But yet he knew what the will was. He knew he was born on earth to live his life, to minister those years, to work with those disciples, to start the church, and then to die on the cross and be the Savior of the world, the one last sacrifice. And he knew that was God's will for him. God knew it before he ever sent him. He knew it in the beginning that he would, that that's what he would be coming for. But the human side of him still shows we can do the same thing. Lord, we don't, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to have heart surgery. I don't want to have cancer. I don't want to have a wreck and it mess up the way I'm ugly enough as it is. I don't want it to mess up the way I look. But in the grand scheme of it, it's not my will, but yours. The truth is, Jesus understood exactly how troubled and anxious we may feel in overwhelming moments. Even in those moments, he wants us to lay down everything. Our grief, our issues, our troubles, our pain, our loneliness, our exhaustion, our depleted relationships. He wants it to for us to lay it at his feet. Even our frustrations, and give it to him, whatever it is. No matter how small, and that's what we teach our kids in children's church and in Outpost Kids, and I would teach the youth, it doesn't matter how small it is. We want you to be know that you can go to God and pray as a friend. And it's not a whole big thing. You don't have to have all these special words. You talk to him like you would your buddy. What lies have you believed that Jesus never said? Maybe you've believed the falsehood that God doesn't give us more than we can handle, when the truth of the matter is God doesn't give more than he can handle. Because we have to rely on him. We have to lay it at his feet. God can handle it all. And because of this truth, one of the things that I'm reminded of, and we talked a little bit about it when I told you Felicia's job is stretching out. It's moving in different parts of the South, these couple of states, three states, Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi, and I'm reminded of it that God is much bigger than we are, because we're thinking, you know, I'm thinking 65 acres at Bellingrath Gardens and she's got this, but no, it's over into Florida, it's into South Alabama, it's into South Mississippi, and God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. When I look at the scope and magnitude of creation and how it comes together so perfectly to work uniformly without issue, I can only conclude that God can handle it all. Why is my little problems, what is so menial to me, well, what is so menial might be huge in my mind, but it's just something else God can, it's like flicking a flea. You know, and it's hard to look at that and to rest upon that. It's hard to lay it down and surrender it. One of the marvels in the world is the fact that the sun rises and sets every single day of our life. It's instrumental in making things grow and giving us light. Yet there's nothing I can do to make it come up or to make it set. I can tell my body when to breathe and my eyes when to blink, but the truth is God's got all of that synchronized and working the way he wants it to work. And you know, my heart's beating. If I get a little AFib, that's because he's needing my attention for something maybe. That's the way I've come to where I'm looking at it. I mean, my back is aching right now, but he knows. You know, it's for a purpose. It's for a reason. It needs attention. But the fact that the sun sets, rises and sets every day reminds me of how little I am and how little we all are in the whole grand scheme of existence and how we're all to get along and with our life and our health. And know that we can't do it on our own. We have to have help. Our greatest asset's ourselves. We as the church pull together in prayer, in fellowship, in a time of giving to support God, to support His ministries, what He's doing, and to pray for each other and to be there for each other, good, bad, or indifferent. I cannot like you. The Bible says I can't hate you. I cannot like you. But the fact of the matter is, I still need to be praying for you because God tells me I need to love my neighbor and I need to take care of him. The point is that God can do and create all these things and form them so that they work perfectly together the way that they do. Surely God can handle our problems. He can handle our surgeries. He can handle our cancer. He can handle our ice machine not working. He can handle those things. He made all of Brother Ernie's corn grow and turn out. And mine, it was the scroniest little ears of corn I ever seen in my life. I'm used to the ones I find at the grocery store, which apparently is another brand, a variety. But He makes all this happen. Admittedly, it's hard to let go of the struggles we face because if we did, we would be turning over the reins to somebody else. We'd be letting God have that steering wheel, to have those reins, to take it and do with it what He wants, but we don't because we want control. We want to control what's happening. It's hard for us to let go of that because control in our ultimate life is what we long for. We want to advance through jobs, those of us that are still working, which is just me in here. And Shelton, and we want to achieve more. We want to do more, and that's parts for a little bit in our control, but it's not all there. So turning over to the struggles begs us to trust God. Trust is difficult, especially if we're not as close to Him as maybe we should be, because sometimes it's easy to slip out of that. To slip away just a little bit, to let a little wedge get in there. Although we don't like to admit it, it's easy to let that little wedge get in, that little bit of doubt, that little bit of worry. We worry. We worry about our loved ones. We worry about our family and our helpmate, our soulmates, and our church family. We worry about our church, but that little bit of doubt that we have in there from that worry is where the devil can get in and play. And He is good at it. But turning over our struggles begs us to trust in God. Trust is difficult, especially when we're not as close, but isn't trust what we're supposed to be doing in the first place? John 14:1 says, to do not let your hearts be troubled. You believed in God, also believe in me. And when we lay it at Jesus' feet, at the foot of that cross, and we say, God, I can't handle this. Jesus, take it. We need you. So how do we get to the place of believing God can handle all of our stuff today? And that's where I love 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. And it's freeing to be able to pray and to give it to God. I've been in the hospitals before. People ask, why did God allow this to happen to me? Why? I don't think that the doctors know what they're doing enough to get us through this. And fact is, that's doubt. That's doubt in God. God trained that doctor. God gave that doctor eyes to see what was there. But we have to place our faith somewhere. We place it in a doctor, that's fine. But we also have to remember that that power, that control, is coming from God. It's not coming from Him. Or His education, how quick or fast it was. But I would like for us just to take the rest. We have about 8 minutes. And let's just pray. Let's just pray for our church, for our people, for our pastor, for Michael, the losses in the last couple of days. Yesterday was the first wreck that I've worked in a long time, and there was thankfully no deaths. But the fact is that they are still there. They're evident. They're happening every day. So let's, if y'all would, we'll join up and we can hold hands in a circle, and let's just have a little time of prayer and lift up all these, Brother Gerald, everybody that has stuff going on.